Well, the question I'm asking you this morning, are you in love? If your wife is sitting beside your husband, lean over to him. Say, I'm in love. I'm in love with you too, babe. All right. Valentine, are you in love? Well, I am here to announce something to you this morning. God is. God's in love. Do y'all know who he's in love with? Do you know that for sure? That is the way God wants you to walk. He wants you to walk in full assurance that he first loved you before you even were thought of. He loves you. Take your Bibles, and I want you to look at this verse. I know we all know it, John 3:16. And when you found John 3:16, let's all stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word, and we'll say it together, okay? This is God's Valentine, a Valentine from God. And by the way, would you not say, and I think this is agreed upon, greatest verse in all Scripture, most known verse of Scripture, and most theologians say that it's the greatest gospel. It's the greatest truth. It's the Charles Spurgeon would ask, he said, what is your greatest thought? And here's what he said, that God would love a sinner like me. Amen. And so let's read this together. We all know it probably by memory. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Father, we thank you for this great verse, this great word. What a great God you are to give it to us. Now I ask you for your Holy Spirit to teach us, because Lord, there's a lot of meat here. There's a lot of truth here. And I pray that we will not handle it casually, but we'll take it seriously. I pray your Holy Spirit now would teach us your great truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Are you in love? God is. I heard about this young teenage boy. He had fallen in love for the very first time. I mean, he was over heels about his little girlfriend. He was so excited about her, he thought, I've got to really give her something special. And so he started saving up all of his money. And by the way, love will make you do that. It'll make you spend money you don't have. It'll make you do things that normally you wouldn't do. It'll make you say things that normally you wouldn't say. I mean, this boy was all in love. And so sure enough, he saved up more money than he thought he was going to save up. And he thought, wait a minute, I got enough money. I can buy 3 boxes of chocolate. So he goes to the local drugstore, and he goes in, and the pharmacist is available to help him, and the pharmacist helps him. And he says, well, son, how can I help you? He said, I am head over heels in love with this girl, and I want to show her that I love her, and I'm hoping that she's going to love me back in a big way. And so I'm going to get a little box of chocolates. I'm going to get a medium-sized box of chocolates, and I'm going to get a large box of chocolates. And the pharmacist says, why would you buy the same girl 3 boxes? He said, well, if she holds my hand, I'm going to give her the little box. If she gives me a great big tight hug, I'm going to give her the medium-sized box. But if she plants a big fat kiss right on my lips, I'm going to give her this great old big box of chocolates. So sure enough, he goes to the house and he invited in there, and they're going to eat first before he gives his box of chocolate. He's got them hidden. And he looks, and this girl's daddy is the pharmacist. He thought, I better pray. So the pharmacist asked, anybody want to pray? And the little boy said, well, I'll pray. And the little girl said, well, I didn't know you were religious, too. He said, yeah, and I didn't know your daddy was the pharmacist. So he prayed, dear Lord, bless me today as I give this little box to my little sweetheart. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, you know, you might want to get your priorities right when you're dealing with the Father, right? Because when you're dealing with daddy, Mike Mabry has a picture of his daughter going out on a date, and he has a big shotgun in his hand. So you got to deal with the Father. So anyway, I want us to deal with the Father today. Let me just share some words with you, encouragement. Because I do believe, and this is something that we miss in church a lot of times, there are people hurting all around us. There are people struggling. Maybe a Maybe it's their health or whatever. Or you're dealing with something emotionally. You're just dealing with depression or something. I want to share with you God's love this morning. Jeremiah 31:3. Yea, have I loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. He is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over you with singing. Can you imagine God sings over you? We ought to sing over him. Amen. John 15:13. Greater love hath this than no man, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Ephesians 2:19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Boy, you want to be encouraged today. Let God fill you with his fullness. 1 John, listen to this. This is for us all, church. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son to the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. They will see the love of God in us. And this great verse, John 3:16, it's still up there on the screen. Look at it for a minute. Let's break it down. For God, the greatest God, so loved the greatest grace, the world, the greatest glory, that he gave the greatest giver, his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whosoever believeth in him, the greatest gospel, should not perish, the greatest guarantee, but have everlasting life, the greatest gain, the greatest goal. Amen. Our God is a great God, and we need to praise him today. What is love? We've got we got the word love mixed up with a lot of different things. Some people say, well, I love this dress, or I love this suit, or I love this and I love that. We've got it all mixed up with a lot of other things. It was interesting, a few years ago, this word was the most searched word on Google. People are looking for love, much like the woman at the well. She was looking for love in all the wrong places, but she met Jesus and found the right one, right? She had been with 5 men, and they were not hers. She'd been married 5 times, but the man she was living with was not hers, but she met Jesus. Well, the Greeks were looking for a word. What kind of word would describe the love of God? And one of the words they had was phileo. It's brotherly love. It's the word we get our city from, Philadelphia. The word Philadelphia comes from phileo, the city of brotherly love. And then there was storge. That was another Greek word. It was a sensual love. It was a love that a husband and wife would have. And then eros, it refers to different aspects of love. This is a diverse range of meaning. It's expressed by the plurality of Greek words for love, the word eros. And then storge, it means tenderness, love, affection, and especially that of parents and children. But then the word they came up with to describe the love of God is right here in John 3:16, agape love. And that is sacrificial love. It's unconditional love. It's perfect love. And that's the kind of love God loves you with. So I want to ask you something. Are you in love with God? Because he sure is in love with you. The Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard told of a story of thieves who broke into a jewelry store and they didn't steal anything. They simply changed the price tag. They took the price tag off of an expensive diamond ring and put it on a cheap bracelet. They took the price tag off of a cheap bracelet and put it on a very expensive diamond ring. And they went around and did that to watches and all kinds of different items in that store. And they didn't steal a thing. They left. The next day, they came back. And they bought that expensive diamond ring for the cheap bracelet price. They bought that expensive watch for the cheaper price on something else. And so the manager thought, man, we're doing great sales today. And when he ran it up on his cash register, he found out he was not making money. He was losing money. I want to submit to you today that that's where we are. We're changing the price tags when it comes to love. We live in a world where someone has rearranged the price tags. We used to love people and use things. Now we love things and we use people. The price tag's been changed. The Bible tells us that God created Adam and Eve, but now we have the Adam and the Steve. The price tag has been changed. The newest thing I've seen is the information page that's out. Are you male, female, or other? Other. God created male and female. There is no other. If you ask me, the other has to be a freak because there is nothing else. It's either male or female. My wife and I'm going to tell you this morning, we were in the closet. And she was over there doing something, getting ready, and I was on the other side doing something, and I thought, well, it would be sweet to blow on her neck. So I blew on her neck, and she said, we don't have time for romance. We got to go to church. And I thought, so we came out of the closet. But anyway, and when we came out of the closet, we were male and female. Amen? I thought y'all would get a kick out of that. I love you, babe. But I didn't mean nothing by it. I really didn't. All I thought, that was a good neck. I thought I'd blow on it. But no, cover your ears, kids, but love is in the air, okay? We had to wait for the fire department last night, but anyway. Obedience, that's the first mark of whether you're in love or not. By the way, that's a good word. Are y'all listening to me? Whether you are married or not, you got a boyfriend or girlfriend, or you're a child of a parent, and we all are children, that's an important word. I don't know of a word in Scripture that God will hold you more accountable for. He wants obedience. In fact, He makes it very clear. He that loves me will obey me. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, the word if means it's up to us to love God. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's our decision. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. The if is up to us. Mark 12:30 says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and the second is likened to it. You shall love your neighbor, you shall love yourself. There's no greater commandment than this, he says. You can hang all the Ten Commandments on this, to love the Lord your God. Now, God is in love with you. Why don't you let God breathe on you? He loves you. He whispers in your ear, I love you. I love you. But he didn't just say, I love you. He did something about it. And see, real love has action to it. Obedience. And so the word I need to give you under obedience is submission. I've never thought about this until I just meditated on this verse. For God so loved. Now, the little words can change everything. The word so. What does that mean? Well, I looked it up. The word so talks about an intensity. God's very intense. He didn't just say, for God loved. He didn't say that, does it? Does it say that in your Bible? For God loved? No. My Bible says, for God so loved. So yes, he's talking about an intensity here, but he's also talking about a demonstration. Don't you think that's interesting? Because God didn't just say, I love you. He acted upon that love. How did he act upon that love? Now, I got to thinking about this. Now, this is some Raleighology, so forgive me. Got to thinking. Do you think about this? And I know I got some thinkers in here that God submitted. You know what God submitted to? God submitted to his own heart, who he was. You know, in Noah's day, God chose to judge mankind. He did. Because man had become so evil, God judged him and sent the flood. And only Noah and his family were saved in the ark. But here in John 3:16, Jesus is saying, for God so loved that God gave in to his love for his creation. And he didn't destroy the creation. Rather, he redeemed the creation because he sent his son. Now, I'll tell you, when I think about that, that God so loved, he didn't just say, I love you. He acted on it. He submitted to it. He did something about it. When you say, I love you, If you really mean it, you do something about it. There's obedience. There's submission. And by the way, there's not a person here, and I'll just point all fingers back to me, that don't need to humble themselves and say, oh God, help me to be submissive to your Holy Spirit. Help me, because you know the Holy Spirit, I'll say something to Sherry sometimes, and you know, she might not even be offended by it. I'll say something the Holy Spirit will say, you shouldn't have said that. That was so dumb on your part. I love my wife. She just looks at me like I'm dumb. She don't say nothing. She shows submission a lot. She just said, Lord, help my husband. Amen. But don't look at me spiritually. You do the same thing. But isn't that what marriage is? Should you not be willing to overlook each other? Marriage is tough. Satan is against marriage because God designed it. And that's where the price tag's being changed today, because it's all right for two men to be married now. It's all right for two women to be married now. But that's not what God says. God created Adam and Eve, and he said, this is good. He did it right. Submission. God loves a submissive spirit. He loves a humble spirit that's bent toward him. Are you rebellious? You know, children can become rebellious. You know, I've got a granddaughter right now. I would like to see her a little more submissive to her parents. Now, her parents, which is my daughter, she's got her doctorate and she's very smart. So time out, count to 10, all that. I'm sitting over like, well, it's not the way I raised you. No. And guess what? Kids turned out good too. Someone said, if your kids turn out good, it's by the grace of God. Well, by the grace of God, I didn't show a lot of mercy, because when they did wrong, I acted on it. And by the way, if you really love someone, you act on it. You do. You act on it. That God loves us so much, he won't let us get by with nothing. The Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens, he corrects. All right, I got to move on. Obedience also serves. Who was he out to serve? Well, actually, you. I love what Jesus said. I've not come to be served, but I've come to serve. His love for this world is remarkable, not because the world is so big, but because the world is so bad, that God would love us in spite of our sin. Are y'all listening to me this morning? That he came and sent his son, and Jesus said, yes, I've not come to be served, but I'm here to serve. When you are in love, you think all the time how you can serve someone. I honestly can say this, and I don't know how to use a better illustration than her. I'm always thinking, what can I do to serve her? You know, I just pick up things about her, and I put it together real quick. She likes everything neat and tidy, so I don't ever leave anything strewed around. I keep everything picked up, and she can testify to that. I know that if I serve her, you know, that makes her happy and makes me happy too, that she's happy. Isn't that true? You want a happy wife and a happy life, and so you learn to serve one another. Love serves. You know, it's not that she does for me. You know something I can't stand? It really bothers me. I go to someone's house, and I've been there many times, and I'm sitting there, and the husband says, go get us something to drink. I'm like, why don't you get up your lazy self and get us something to drink? I mean, why is it? I mean, I believe you ought to think about how can I serve you instead of how I can be served. Well, that's how Jesus thought. Jesus thought, how can I serve you? That's obedience. And then sacrifice, of course. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave. God is a hilarious giver. He gave because this is his nature. God thinks more about what he can give than what he can receive. So love is sacrificial obedience. Listen to this verse, Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Listen to this now. And being found in the likeness of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto what? Unto death, even the death of the cross. Thank God for that sacrifice. That Jesus prayed in that garden, not my will, but thy will be done. And boy, he hadn't prayed that prayer, you'd all be going to hell. The battle was in the garden. Did you know that? Great sweat, the blood was flying from his face and off of his forehead, and he was battling with this. Lord, remove this bitter cup, remove this bitter cup, remove this bitter cup, but not my will, but thy will be done. That's the prayer that you and I need to pray in all things. Not my will, but thy will be done. Obedience. Not only obedience do we see in John 3:16, we see offering. We see in John 3:16 that he gave his only begotten son. What an offering. Whoever loves much does much. You need to write that down, husband. Whoever loves much does much. If you love much, action will follow. Love is an action word. It's doing something. It's not just saying, I love you. Anybody can say, I love you. What do you do about your love? Do you really love someone? Then much love results in much doing. Whoever loves much does much. The sacrifice of praise. Are y'all following me? 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. God was the first to say, I love you. The text does not say God loves us present tense. Now that we have been made his children, it says God loves us past tense before we were ever saved. God is the one who acts first in salvation. I remember one time someone asked my kids, how did they know that their dad loved them? Now, I've always told them that I've loved them, but when asked, their answer was not because Dad said so, but because of the demonstration of my love that assures them I love them. We were up at Boone the other week for my granddaughter's birthday, and this was a big deal to her. Now, Nana was in the room with our daughter and son-in-law and all that, but no, Kaylin said, Papa, I want you in my room. I said, okay. So we go in, and I mean, this was serious. She wanted me in her room. She said, now, Papa, these are the baby dolls we're going to play with. I said, okay. And I get down on, and she said, this is the house. And I forget what are those little things. I forget little, I don't know what they are. But, man, she had me taking care of all these little people and fixing this little house, and we played baby dolls and little house. You say, preacher, why would you do that? The sacrifice of praise. Man, what an awesome time. You know what that granddaughter of mine was doing? You know what children love? A little time. They do. They'll eat that up. And you know what? She'll never forget that. By the way, we brought her a birthday gift. I don't even know what it was, but she put it to the side. She wanted time spent with her. And folks, let me tell you something about the sacrifice of praise. You're giving it right now. Giving God your undivided attention right now. You're not being distracted. You're not walking in and out of church. You're giving God your ultimate focus right now. And you're saying, God, I love you. When you stand up and you sing like this choir sung this morning and this praise team, I'll tell you, that's a sacrifice because Satan can't stand it that we're praising God. That's why I got kicked out of heaven in the first place. Let me tell you something. Music is a hard thing because Satan wants to make it difficult. I believe when Satan fell out of the choir. The devil tries to do everything he can to interrupt that sacrifice of praise. But God wants the sacrifice of praise. Worship is all about us offering this sacrifice of praise. Listen to me carefully what I'm about to say. Because I believe all praise is based upon the grounds of redemption. And because of Calvary, we have every reason to praise him. I'm telling you today, folks, we need to offer. He sacrificed himself on Calvary's tree under God for those of us who name his name. Why can't we praise him? Why can't we thank him? Because we're too focused on ourselves. Well, what will somebody else think? It don't matter what anybody else thinks. What matters is what God thinks. And he went to the cross and he said, this is how much I love you. Lord, this is how much I love you. You know, we're it's almost like we're ashamed to praise him. Why are we ashamed to praise? We go to the ball game and we praise our football team. I love football, and I'm just like everybody else. Go, go, go! Yes, win! I'm pulling for them. I'm rooting for them. But Jesus Christ has already shown his love for me, and he gave the ultimate sacrifice. Why can't I sacrifice some time? Huh? Hello? Why can't I be here when the door is open? Well, Lord, I don't have time to be here on Wednesday night. I know and this is the way I look at Wednesday night. Most important meeting this church has is our prayer meetings. Amen. This past week was totally awesome. I mean, we prayed over the souls of lost people. Let me tell you something. There ain't nothing any better than that. And that's what a church is called to do. And when a church can't take the time to pray, that church is in trouble. when we can't gather together as a corporate body and pray over the souls of lost people. Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross, he could care a holy grunt about a lot of things that we do. He died for the lost. And that's what our focus needs to be. That's what God said. I mean, if you were God and you gave your only begotten son without being sacrilegious, which church would you bless? The church that's concerned for the lost, or the church that's just a gathering of people? The church is concerned for the lost. Jesus died for the lost. We need to offer the sacrifice of praise by our attendance, by our prayers, by our praise, by everything that we do. There's a song that was written in Bangladesh that went like this. A song is not a song until you sing it. A bell is not a bell until you ring it. And love is not love until you give it away. Well, God gave it away at the cross. We're to give our love back to him. The sacrifice of praise. But then there's the sacrifice of provision. His only begotten son. What did God give? Well, he gave his only begotten son. He offered himself. God gave not out of himself. He gave himself. That is the incarnation. God becoming flesh. Flesh for what? For us. To give to us what we needed for salvation. God's provision is Jesus Christ. David said, and I love this verse. David said, I will not offer to God that which costs me nothing. Well, I'm going to tell you what it costs God. Look up here, church. It cost him everything. Thank God for the sacrifice that he gave on Calvary's cross. What should our offerings be? God gave his ultimate sacrifice. God provided the lamb of sacrifice. Only Jesus could have said from the cross, it is finished. He was the only begotten who could have provided us the perfect way, the perfect salvation. Jesus is all you need. I'm going to say it again. Jesus is all you need. I'm going to tell you, there's no other way. Jesus said it best. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. And then the sacrifice of presence. I mean, this is the Son of the living God. This is the incarnation. This is the greatest presence of God on earth. That God became one of us. God says, we ask, where is God? And God says, here. I'm right here. Born in a lowly manger so anybody could get to me. The shepherds were considered the lowest of the lowest, and they came to praise him. They came to thank him. They came to worship him. The wise men, all these that came, he came for whosoever will may come. At the cross, you see the presence of God. That was God's blood. Are y'all listening to me? The precious red ruby royal blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that was not man's blood. That was not Mary's blood. That was God's blood. And that blood is what washes our sins completely away. I don't know if y'all get excited about it, but I'm so thankful that he's present with us today. Are y'all even aware that where we gather together, he gathers together? God is right in the midst of this today. You'd be shocked how much God is here right now. I never see empty pews in a church. Never have. I've always looked at them. There are angels lined up right here on this pew right now. I said, Preacher Ronnie, you're crazy. Oh, no, the angels of the Lord encamp about them that fear him. If we only could see what God's doing right now. God might be right now showing himself to somebody in this service. That's why we need to be obedient, and we need to just let the Holy Spirit work in our lives. Let's offer the sacrifice that he offers. Thank God you're here today. Thank God that you want to serve him and you want to live for him. In 2002, a drawing was discovered in what used to be a maid's room in a museum. This is a true story, by the way. 2002, in a maid's room, a storage closet in a museum. The chalk drawing of a candlestick was one of five drawings sold collectively to the museum in 1940 for $60. For decades, it sat in the maid's closet until one day a visiting scholar recognized it for what it was. It was an original Michelangelo. Today, true story, it is worth more than $12 million. What was the difference between the drawing of 2002 and the drawing now? Nothing. Nothing. It's the same drawing. It's always been. The only difference is that the artist is now known. Well, let me tell you, that's what God did at the cross. God is known. What is God known for? His son, Jesus Christ, who died on that cross. God was far off. I Googled this, and I was shocked to learn this. It's amazing what you can learn on Google. That most people, the majority of people, see God as mad. Didn't know that. That they see him as an old man, long beard, ready to pounce upon them. You know why most people see God as angry and mad? Because they're angry and mad themselves. They're mad at themselves because they're in their sin. And then they're the ones that say, well, how can a loving God allow a person to go to hell? Well, a loving God allowed no one to go to hell. You go to hell because you reject that loving God. God loves the world. He loves you. He showed up for you. Now, have you showed up for him? Have you stepped up and said, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior? Have you offered yourself to him? Well, that's the last thing I want to give you today, and that's the opportunity. We're going to do that in just a minute, the opportunity. Because to me, John 3:16 is all about this. It really is. It's in simple three words, obedience. If you love me, you will obey me. It's about an offering, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But notice the invitation is given here, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here's your opportunity right now. I want to give it to you. I want to give it to you the way God gave it. Number one, love. That's how God gave it. That whosoever believeth. The first word in John 3:16, I'm going to teach you something. The first word in John 3:16 is what? For. Now, that refers back when you see the word for. Why is it there? What's it there for? Well, look back to John 3:15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In other words, this is what it comes down to. God believes in you. He believed in you so much that he said, I'm not going to let you die and go to an eternal hell. I'm going to give you an opportunity to be saved. And that opportunity is right now. And I'm going to show my love. I'm going to act upon it. I'm not just going to say I love the world. I'm going to give my son. And that's love in action. Now follow along with me. How can you act? God is for us. Listen to me. He's not against us. He loves you. And even gives us the faith to believe. To believe is much more than some kind of feeling. To believe is faith in Jesus Christ. To surrender all of your life is to believe. You do not believe any better than you're willing to live your life for God. If you really want to know what you believe, look at what you do. How you live. That is the definition of what you believe. I can say, I love you. But you won't believe it until I show it to you. That's what God did. God didn't just say, I love you. He showed it to us. The point I'm trying to make is this. If you really love God, you're not going to be concerned about what anybody else thinks. You'll walk down this aisle today because God's giving you the opportunity to say, all right, God, I'm ready to love you with all my heart. I'm trusting you with all my heart. I'm asking you. And there are some people here today, I guarantee you there's some today, you're deceived. You think somehow that, well, I joined the church. I got baptized. I'm a good person. I hear this one a lot. Well, preacher, I'm just as good as anybody else. There's going to be a lot of people in hell because they didn't take the opportunity to trust Jesus as Savior. They lived a good moral life. They were a nice person. They were a member of the church. They were baptized. They lived a good moral life. But unless you receive the opportunity that God's given you. I mean, God's reaching out in his love. It's like a Christmas gift. He's got it all wrapped up, but you're not willing to receive it. You have the opportunity, but you've got to take it. God can't, and he will not. He's a gentleman. He won't force it on you. You've got to come to God because you want to. And if you don't want to, guess what? You're not going to get saved. It's got to be from your heart. That's what belief is. It's much more than a feeling. It's faith in action. The Bible says faith without works is dead. And so, where is your love today? You can believe and receive, or you can doubt and do without. God loves all, but he saves only those who believe in his only begotten Son. He cannot save those who refuse to believe in him. If he did, he would cease to be just. He would cease to be holy. He would cease to be righteous. But God loves you today. Now, listen carefully. I'm about done. It's up to you whether you believe that or not. Some people can't believe it because they were abused as a child. They didn't feel loved by their father. They didn't feel loved by their mother. They are discouraged. They don't feel like they're worth anything. They're hopeless and they're helpless. That's all a devil's lie. Amen. God loves you, period. You can't do nothing to make him love you more. You can't do nothing to make him love you less. And you just got to get down to this in your heart. I have an opportunity to love him. Look up here. All God wants from you, all he wants. Are y'all listening? Gonna make it so simple. He don't want your works. He wants your love. You say, well, preacher, you said if we love, there will be works. There's gonna be action. Yeah, there will. But what God wants is your love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. What an opportunity we have to love God who first loved us. And then he says you can live. He says you should not perish. You want the full assurance of God's written guarantee? Many people that live are perishing today. They're living in sin and they're perishing. They're living for self and they're perishing. Many people today in America, listen to me carefully, they're living but they're dead. Oh yeah, they're breathing air in their lungs, but they don't have no life. They're miserable. Folks, I've decided people are more miserable than ever. I mean, a school bus this week ran in the back of a car, just bumped the bumper. The guy gets out of the car and begins shouting at the school driver, takes a gun and shoots the school bus driver. Just because he just tapped his bumper. That was in Atlanta this week. It was on the news, Atlanta, Georgia. Isn't that amazing? Road rage. Why is it that people are so angry today? Why are people hurting so bad? I'll tell you why. They have not come to the opportunity I'm talking about to know the love of God so that they can live. Because God wants you to live and he wants you to have a life. And that's the third word. Do you have a life? That's something that we kids used to say all the time when I was growing up. Get a life. Yeah. I mean, we didn't curse. So what we did, you just need to get a life. What is this life? What kind of life? What does he say? Everlasting life. Everlasting joy. Everlasting peace. Everlasting love. Are y'all listening? I'm done. God is everlasting. Amen. You say, preacher, I'm thankful that you're not. Cut it off. But God is everlasting. Look up here. Don't you want this love that's everlasting? Don't you want to be able to live this little span of time in the fullness of God's love and mercy and grace? Why perish? You don't need to perish. Get a life. Get a life. It's an everlasting life. Many are living, but few have a life. If you want to write this down, here's life's acrostic. This was invented by Y, so it ought to be worth writing down. L, love. L. Love. I-S. F, it's for. E, everyone. Love is for everyone. That's life. And let me tell you something. God loved us, and we need to love everybody. We need to love everyone. And when you love everyone, listen to me, church, you'll be able to lead people to Christ. Because when you love them enough to say, has anybody told you today God loves them? Has anyone told you today God loves you? Well, no. Well, God loves you. And I loved you enough to tell you about it. That's a strong statement. Let me tell you one last thing about love. If you got real love, it's worth sharing. You know, I like talking about my love for Sherry. I mean, I tell her every day I love her, and I do things to let her know I love her, but I like bragging on it. I think we need to brag on our love for God. You don't think so? Then you're not living. Because to be alive and live, you need to brag on God's love. We're going to close a little different today. Oh, by the way, I found that. I wanted you to look at that for a minute. Isn't that precious? This Valentine, can we cherish the gift of life? And let me just say, so you know where your preacher stands. I believe with all of my heart that abortion is murder. Amen. And let me tell you something. What happened in New York is a disgrace to God. We need to pray for our nation. Some of us need to hit this altar today because I'm telling you something. The Bible says God knew you before you were even conceived. You know how I know that? Because he knows you. He knows more about you than you could ever, are you listening to me? He knows more about you than you could ever imagine. He loves you so much, he keeps a picture of you on his refrigerator. Yeah. You don't think God is for you, for God so loved. And you know, I can see, I'm watching people as I'm preaching, and there's some folks right now looking at me, well, I know this. Do you really know it? Oh, do you really know it? It's so easy. Well, I know God loves me. Then what are you going to do about it? Are you going to give him praise, the sacrifice of praise? You say, well, preacher, I'm not going to worship God the way you do. Well, thank God for that, because you're not me. You worship God the way, but you're going to do something. Oh, yeah, this altar is now open. And even before we start singing, I'm giving the invitation right now, before any music. I want you to watch this, and I want you to hear from God. We're going to take the time, because God, I believe, has made it very clear. He has given us his love letter. Let's watch it. You come, the altar's open.
The words you are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you. And he is the father you have been looking for all your life. This is his love letter to you. My child. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child?